with Nicole Harmony, and you, I found you on Facebook, in total honesty. I've never met you in person. And I put out a message in to the universe, we'll say, but really in reality, it was on Facebook. And I asked for someone that could help me spread the message in bringing the message to entrepreneurs specifically, that if you do the deep inner work, that life could become easier. Because as an entrepreneur for 10 years, my whole life, in 10 years of business, it's been very hard up until the point of me doing the deep inner work. Now life is like the easiest thing I've ever done, and I can't believe I didn't start sooner. So now it's my mission to bring it to other people, other entrepreneurs. And you messaged me and said that you were in another country, but you'd love to hop on and share your story. So thank you.
Thank you.
And
welcome from Thailand.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. What time is it there?
It is 8 o'clock.
A.M. P.M.
I'm sorry. Yeah, 8 p.m.
Yeah. So yep. It's 10 a.m. here. So thank you. That's why it's maybe a little darker where you are. Yeah. So tell us what your specialty is.
So I specialize in a curated this methodology called the memory integration technique. It is my belief that everything that we create in our adult lives is rooted in some sort of distortion, trauma in our childhood. So between the ages of 0 and 8 years old, our belief systems are created. And when we experience something like or violence, then we're going to create scenarios further into the future that go back to that baseline, because that's where our nervous system feels regulated, right? And so if you're creating chaotic relationships in your life right now, then it's imperative that you go back to that childhood and really focus on what happened to you when you were a child. What beliefs were created? What did you start to decide about yourself and the world?
Because everything's based off of your subconscious. Your subconscious is what you're talking about. That's formed, molded from 0 to 18, but really from like 0 to 8.
Yes. 0 to 8, yeah, is where the beliefs are created. And yeah, it's interesting that you bring up the subconscious, because the subconscious doesn't necessarily have to hold this lifetime. If you are a believer of past lifetimes, then your subconscious is your soul. It's your soul's records. And so the library is vast and very deep of the records that can hold. Bringing in the Akashic Records is a piece that I'm doing currently, being able to work with these past life regression and figuring out what patterns were created with the past lives that you're bringing forth into this current life.
So Nicole, I have to say, when you talk about past lives and us holding a record of them in our subconscious, it's like overwhelming, because I just feel like I'm getting control. Maybe control is a really bad word for this conversation, but like, I feel like I'm just getting a handle on the current life from 0 to 18, 0 to 35. And now you're saying that past lives also are stored within us, and it's like, for the love of God, so much work to do.
Yeah, whenever you have a pattern and you feel like you have done all the healing, done all the work, you've gone to do the ayahuasca, you've done the psilocybin, but there's still that little component there, you know, like that distortion, that's when you have to start going back to either your ancestors or past lives. And you may find it there, and I never speak in absolutes, so you may find it there.
How did you get started in this work?
So actually, it's kind of interesting, because in 2009, I developed a really bad chronic pain in my left side, my facial area. And I went on an odyssey of going to different specialists, and they finally arrived at this diagnosis of trigeminal neuralgia. But I went through a dentist, an oral surgeon, and a neurologist. So I went from having a cavity, what I thought was a cavity, to mouth cancer, to... So then I went to a neurologist. The neurologist gave me basically like a simple physical exam, nothing, no blood was drawn, no MRI, no x-rays. And he gave me this diagnosis of trigeminal neuralgia, which is chronic facial nerve pain. And he gave me a prescription for Lyrica, and he said, I'll see you in 60 days, walk me to the elevator. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm 35. How did I get this? How do I get rid of it? And he was like, you'll have it for the rest of your life. There's no known cause. Here's your prescription, take it, and I'll see you in 60 days. And I was like, okay, what? So I go home like completely bewildered. And I start researching Lyrica, and I see the side effects, like the horrific side effects of Lyrica. And I was like, no, I'm not going to take Lyrica. Looked it up, and I saw that Tegretol was an option. So I called the nurse, and I was like, can I take this? So they put me on a low dose of Tegretol, and the Tegretol took all of the quality of life away from me. Like, I became a vegetable. I was drooling out of the side of my mouth. I had quadruple vision. I couldn't see. I couldn't drive anymore. I was at the time in production for like film and print, and was a wardrobe stylist. I couldn't drive. I couldn't go to work. So I basically had to move in with my boyfriend at the time. He had to bathe me on a shower stool because if I closed my eyes, I would pass out. So it was, and I'm 35. I'm like, what? My life is over. And so that lasted about 2.5 weeks, and it just got progressively worse. I started gaining like unexplained weight, and just to be a little bit vain, I had agreed to be a bridesmaid in one of my friend's weddings. I had just ordered my bridesmaid's dress, which was like a 00. I was like 100 pounds at the time, and I started gaining. I was like up to 105 pounds before in 2 weeks. And I was like, I can't continue to do this. So I'm going to have to buy a new dress. We got to figure this out. And so I started researching, and I just immediately went off the drug. I didn't even wean myself off the drug. I just went cold turkey. And I started seeing a UCC specialist, which was upper cervical chiropractor. He questioned all of the trauma that I had experienced body-wise in my life. I had had several car accidents in my teens that back then in the 90s, they didn't take you to the chiropractor. They didn't take you to the doctor. They gave you this like foam neck thing and sent you on your way with like some Tylenol. And then during my wardrobe years, I would fall off the stage because I was moving so quickly. I ran into one of those camera cranes at one point, knocked me out silly. So I'd had a lot of body trauma that was never really addressed. And it had just, my body was just misaligned. And so it was coming out in my nerve. And I started having...
Was this the first time that the doctor has, or anybody has ever mentioned trauma to you?
Yeah. Wow. Yep. Yeah.
So 16 you didn't go to therapy prior?
No. Nope. Okay. Nothing. And it was more, body trauma at that point.
Right.
The emotional trauma didn't come out until later. So that was the beginning of my journey. And so I got to be pretty much pain-free and 100% drug-free pretty quickly. And then I started going down the rabbit hole and started peeling back the layers of the onion, right? And so the emotional trauma started coming forward. And on a whim, I booked a session with an emotional healer. And she was asking me all of these questions. And that's kind of what I do now, is that you silence the conscious mind so you can tap into the subconscious, which is where all of the files are held of all of the traumas, all of the distortions, anything, even like past lives. That's why I'm bringing in the Akashic Records now to my practice, so I can work with the past life regression, you know, aspect of it, component. And so she was asking me all these questions, and it was like somebody opened up a file cabinet and pulled out this file and threw it down on the table. And all of a sudden I just started bawling my eyes out. And I had suppressed this memory, my sister leaving me alone when I was 8 years old. My parents had gone out to dinner. I had the flu. She went out with her friends. I got scared. I went to my friend's parents' house. We were decorating for Christmas, and a gigantic electric walk fell on top of my head and split my head open. And they didn't take me to the doctor or the emergency room. They just kind of laid me down on the couch. And it, yeah, so my parents kicked my sister out of the house that night. And she was only 16 years old.
Wait, so you were 8, and what fell on your head?
A walk, so back in the 80s. So I'm 51, so I'm a little bit older.
You they had these.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. but they had these gigantic woks, like Chinese woks that you cook in.
In the kitchen. Yeah.
And it had this electrical component attached to it. So it weighed like 20 pounds. It came crashing down on top of my head and split my head open. And I was bleeding everywhere.
So were you
bleeding? Yeah. Yeah. Blood.
Your head's gushing blood and nobody takes you to the doctor?
Nobody took me to the doctor. Yeah. And then...
how did they get the blood to stop? I don't understand.
I know. I've never really asked that question. I mean, it wasn't like gushing blood like I'm, you know, but it was enough that it was... So I was white blonde back then and it was strawberry blonde. There was so much blood. And so my dad came to pick me up. We went home. They didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't even have answer machines. I don't think. I think I like wrote a piece of paper saying where I was. And so my mom, you know, put me to bed and I kept waking up and throwing up. And now I look back and I'm like, probably had a concussion.
For sure.
But so my mom eventually washed the blood out of my hair and then I was able to go to sleep. But then my sister came home from being out and my parents just lost it. And she had already pushed them to their limits. But I'm 8 years old and I don't know that. And so my sister sat on the stoop of our house and she was crying. And I looked out at her and the memory is that I held that in my body as a trauma, not only what had happened to me, but what I had caused to happen to my sister. And so I held that. Exactly.
What you perceived that you caused, yeah.
I'm not worthy of love. I'm not lovable. This is my fault. I should have done better. I shouldn't have been scared. I mean, all the limiting beliefs, you know, coming in. And the way that the emotional healer said it was, you were 8 years old. That was not your fault. That was, you were eight. You were not expected to try to take care of yourself. And I've been a very independent woman pretty much all of my life. And that was a huge component of it because I was like, I have to take care of myself. My parents left me. My sister left me. I'm scared. I'm going to take care of myself. And yeah, so she cleared that memory and I had this physical manifestation on my finger. It was like this gigantic wart and it would ooze blood and pus every once in a while, depending on what was going on in my life. I had it burned off by a dermatologist 3 times. It grew back. That day that she cleared those emotions and those beliefs, it's turned black as soot. Sunk back in my skin and it's never returned. You can see it's gone.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Okay, Nicole, for people that have no idea what a physical manifestation is, can you like just backtrack for a minute and explain that?
It's so basically it was a gigantic wart. That's what the dermatologist diagnosed it as. But when you have something so traumatic, it's almost like it grows legs. And so when it grows legs, then it will just continue to root into your body and come out as dangling cysts, warts. I mean, all kinds of things. It could be because it's rooted. If anything has a root and it's not of your body, like it's not supposed to be there, then it is rooted in some sort of trauma. It is rooted in some sort of distortion. And so what happened is that those roots dissolved because I actually went to the root of the cause, like the root of the trauma, and I cleared it.
That's amazing.
It's, yeah.
So your body, what the physical manifestation is, it can show up in physical form on your body, right? Your emotions and your traumas create the physical, the dis-ease in your body.
Exactly. Yeah. The lack of homeostasis. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it could, right. Yeah, it could show up in many different ways,
yes.
Depending on the trauma and how it comes out. But it can show, the physical manifestation is it the physical side of the disease, the discomfort in your body from the trauma showing up in cancer or in your case, a wart or whatever.
Yeah. And the facial nerve pain too. Yeah.
Okay. So how did you relate that or how did that come about that you realized that was the connection?
So a few years later, I was again working with a conscious chiropractor, but really when I started doing this work myself. So when I started training to be that person to hold space for others, I don't call myself a healer because we're our own healers. I don't do anything. I create and hold the space for people that are healing themselves. So, but when I started doing work to train, really had to go into the darkness, because the program that I trained in, we had skills labs and we would be coaching one another and working the different tools and techniques on each other. And so I was really having to go deep and dark, and just started reversing itself. Like it was non-existent by the time I got done with my program.
Wow.
So yeah.
So no one specifically called it out. No one, like your healer prior with the wart. No one. It just healed us on its own.
It just healed on its own. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were doing.
And yoga. I mean, I think that it was a combination of diet change. So I'm plant-based, whole plant-based. I've done ayahuasca. I've done psilocybin.
I'm so interested in ayahuasca.
It's a really beautiful medicine. I just caution people that want to go and do it these days to really interview your facilitator and make sure that they're not going, because as you consume the medicine, you're consuming whatever energy is in that person, because that person is preparing the medicine for you. And so you have to be very, very careful. Yeah. You have to be very aware of any addictions, because a lot of people are using ayahuasca to spiritually bypass, even though it's a powerful medicine and you can go in deep. But if you're always chasing the next ceremony and not integrating what the medicine has given to you, then it can quickly turn the addiction to alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, to ayahuasca. Wow. So you have to be really, really careful. Yeah.
Just a replacement.
Exactly. Yeah. A deflection. Exactly.
So let's go back to the physical manifestation real quick, because I find that like so fascinating, because people can deny that they don't have any traumas or there's nothing wrong. Right. Like, and you can be just literally in denial because you just simply haven't acknowledged or no one's brought awareness to it for you.
Yeah.
But I find that, tell me your thoughts on the physical manifestation showing up in your life, like in your reality, not just your body and disease and ailments.
So, well, this is one of them. I have no idea where this came from, how it got there. I've had an MRI. There's nothing there, but it just stays. Yeah, exactly. I've asked, you know, my ayahuasca facilitators, my psilocybin, all my emotional heroes, Akashic Records, like, I mean, every single person, I'm like, okay, what is this? And they say that it's by my third eye and not to worry about it, that it's just, so I have no idea if it's something that I need for the healing that I'm, you know, doing for myself and, you know, holding that space for others. So I don't really pay any attention to it that much anymore, but also my nails. So I have ridges on my nails. I've cleared emotions around my nails. So I've done the emotion code and things like that. I don't know if you're familiar with that technique or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my nails started finally growing. They used to be like really brittle, short, but they're finally getting more strong. So physical manifestation can come up in so many different ways. I mean, I have this book that I carry with me and I use it with my clients.
Stop it right now. I literally have the same book.
This is the best, right?
I mean, it really is. Like every time one of my friends is like, I have a cough, I'm like, hold on, please. Let me just go to the back. And I screenshot a picture. I'm like, you need to replace these negative thoughts with this positive affirmation for yourself. Like my friends just absolutely must think I'm a lunatic. But because it's like new for them that I'm right, like the last 2 years that I'm just like a complete different awareness.
Yeah. Yeah.
To it all. Yeah, I literally carry that book everywhere.
I have a bigger one, The Secret Language of Your Body, but that had to be left back in the States because it weighed too much. But it has everything. I mean, everything. Any symptom you have, you look it up and there is an emotion attached to it. So
I'll have to get that. What's it called?
The Secret Language of Your Body.
Okay.
I'll send you
your
screenshot.
It.
Yeah. After. Yeah. It's, I mean, we hold all of our traumas, all of our distortions in ourselves, period. And they will manifest as chronic pain, chronic disease, emotional discourse, bad relationships, unhealthy habits, unhealthy patterns. I mean, you name it, it will manifest into something. So if people say that they don't have trauma, that is the biggest red flag for me. If they say that they don't have childhood trauma, huge red flag. I'm like, you were raised by imperfect people, humans. So you have distortions, period.
Yeah. So why is it a red flag to you?
Oh, because they're not aware. they're in complete
and if
denial.
They're not aware, yeah. And if they're not aware, what does that mean for you?
Well, so for a client, it means that they're not ready for the work that we're going to do together. If it's for a relationship, I'm not going to be your therapist. I'm not going to be your healer. I want to be led by you. I don't want to drag you along the ladder of ascension. And
that's
if it's for friends, then I mean, I can still keep them around, but they're in a different bucket. Like, so.
Yeah. Distant.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's going to be hard to discuss anything that's going on in my life because I'm not a small talk kind of person. I'm a very deep conversation kind of person. So it would be hard to have like a very intimate relationship, friendship with anybody that doesn't respect or understand or have awareness around anything that has to do with like childhood trauma, anything that has to do with distortions, anything that has to do with like emotions and how they're attached to basically everything that we experience in our life that's not a positive.
Yeah, just not in alignment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it takes a while to accept that when you're like going through your new stage of awareness for yourself. And I feel anyway, that it takes some time to like accept that like these are just not like your close people anymore because they're you can't bring everybody on the journey at the same time.
Exactly.
So I've like gone through some, like it feels like a loss every time. Not that you're discarding them as friends, but they're just not like in your forefront anymore. They're not like your close five. You need to like bring in your new aware, consciously woken close five.
Your tribe. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So the physical manifestation, though, have you seen any correlation other than the body in like physical form, like it caused a divorce or it caused trauma or relationships with like where your workplace is or like all of that? Like, what have you seen in the physical reality show up in that sense?
So for me personally, I grew up with an emotionally unavailable father. That relationship, so when you are 0 to 8 years old, that is when your belief system is created. And so between your primary caregivers and your society and your environment, that's where your beliefs are created. So if you are living in a household with chaos and abuse and violence, then if when you're 19, 20 years old and you find somebody that only wants peace and be supportive and, keeps you safe, that's not going to feel okay to your nervous system. It's going to feel like a dysregulation because your baseline was chaos and violence. And so your brain, very intelligent organ inside of your body, is going to seek out and find scenarios to recreate the baseline of chaos. And so the term or the phrase stir the pot, when you stir the pot, you're going back to your baseline because, again, your nervous system just wants to find regulation, but regulation is not the normal for them. The normal is chaos and violence. Does that resonate?
Okay, yes. So, Nicole, you're saying it's just so exciting. It's like literally once you see things, you can't unsee them. And then it's like you're so repelled by that type of energy. So, and then you don't know what you don't know until you see it. So you're saying everyone has their own baseline. Mm-hmm. And baseline is your emotional state.
Correct. When you're between 0 and 8 years old. Yeah.
It's created. It's formed. It's created. And molded then. And if you grew up in a chaotic environment, then why do you seek out those chaotic environments when you're older?
because your
what
baseline
draws
is
you to them?
your baseline. So your nervous system feels regulated in violence and chaos. When you go into peace and support and in a nonviolent environment, it's like, wait a minute, something's wrong because this is not my norm. This is not my normal. I've got to get back to normal. I've got to get back to regulation. And so it takes somebody that's doing that inner work. And then it also takes an extremely supportive partner that has worked on their own stuff to hold that space for that person that experienced those distortions to get back to a healthy baseline. It's repatterning the brain. You really have to, what I do with my clients is I go back into those traumas, those memories, and I literally them physically, I mean, sometimes they physically do it, but in their mind, they rip up that contract together that little one signed so long ago to keep the adult version safe. So when we start to sabotage in our lives, it's not the adult versions of us that's doing that. It's the child versions. It's the younger versions, those younger parts, getting us back to that baseline of chaos and violence, because that's where they feel comfort. That's where they feel safe.
Because if they have something that's too like calm, let's say, it's almost too good to be true.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so what's too good to be true, you start to self-sabotage, whether you know it or not. And your six-year-old self or your 7 or 8-year-old self comes out and you're like fighting that trauma that happened when you were 6 or 7 years old.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And so they don't feel worthy either of the new baseline. That's the other thing. Repatterning the brain, giving those new beliefs of I am worthy, I am lovable, I deserve love, I deserve peace, I deserve to be supported. Like that is what they have to do, because back in when they were 2 or 3 years old, they may have been told, oh, you're not lovable, or you aren't wanted, or you're not good enough, you know, that kind of thing. And it doesn't have to be like physical, sexual, emotional abuse either. It could just be being bullied at school.
What's crazy is through my journey, I've learned that no one even had to say those words to you. Mm-hmm. Something just may have had happened and you perceived it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So when you go back and you look at the memory that you would call trauma, you tell the emotional story for so long, right? I'm 35. I've told an emotional story about this one memory for 35 years. And then when I go to tell it factually, it's like nothing even happened.
Yeah.
It's like the whole emotional story I've been telling myself for 35 years isn't even, it's not even real.
Right.
It's just at 5 years old or whenever, I just perceived it like that. And that was my truth.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's why I say it's a red flag when people say, well, I don't have trauma. Really? Okay.
What is it? So you said you take your clients back and you have them rip up the contract. Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Sure. So basically what I do is I have the client shrink down into the younger version of themselves. Like I do the whole putting in the hands, the hand slots and the toe slots, and they become one. And then I have the child version come forward and start describing, you know, what's happening, and ask them, what are you believing about yourself? What are you deciding about yourself and the world around you? And I'm writing notes down the entire time. And then I have the older version come in and actually take the younger version out of the pain, out of the trauma. They do have to feel the pain for just a minute. It's not something they don't like to feel the physical pain. If they did have physical trauma, like if it was sexual abuse, I don't drop them into that point. I just bring in that adult version to champion for that younger version and take them away. And then we ask the younger version, are you ready to give up this contract of keeping this adult version of you safe? Are you ready to just be a kid? Because that is your job. You are the 8-year-old part of Kate. You're not the 28-year-old part. You're not capable of making the decisions that she needs to make. She is this confident woman. She has the ability. You have to give up this contract. And inevitably they're like, yes. And they're ripping it up and they're throwing it up in the air and they're doing cartwheels and dancing around. And And then the older version invites them to come back and integrate back into their body. And so they just kind of like melt into their body. And then I grow them back up. And then we clear the limiting beliefs that were created. And I'm muscle testing to make sure that the ones that are muscle testing weak are the ones that we clear. And then I fill them back up with positive beliefs, positive behaviors, positive patterns. Again, repatterning that brain, creating new neural pathways. So new beliefs, new behaviors, and patterns can be formed.
That's amazing. So when your clients go through that process and they're consciously aware of the traumas that have held them back for however long, their whole life, right?
Past lives too.
Right. Past lives. what if they're not fully aware of how they're still creating their physical reality to be chaos? Like, how does the trauma healing almost catch up with like their reality currently?
The work. I mean, I don't ever say, hey, you're going to be 100% cured and healed with one session. It can make an impact, definitely, but if it's a really deep-rooted trauma and it's a really deep-rooted belief, the parts of us, so I may have only been able to work with one part of you, and that is 1 second of your life. So there may be multiple parts that hold that same belief. So there's been instances where I have to go back to an 8-year-old, you know, when I worked with a 2-year-old a month ago, and I may have to go back to that 6-year-old. Sometimes they all come together. I mean, it really just depends on the client and how open they are. But I have had, I think, the most 4 parts come forward where they've all ripped up the contracts together. But again, you don't know until you start peeling back that onion on what is there, and then really focusing on having that awareness of, you know, again, with my emotionally unavailable father, if I continue to attract emotionally unavailable men, then I know that there's still parts of me that need work to be done. And so it's just having that awareness of the patterns and being okay with it. You know, that's the biggest thing. Giving yourself grace and forgiveness that you're not going to be 100% complete ever. Like, we can do the work. Once we're on this journey, we're never off of it until we die. And the way that I look at the soul is that, and the work that I do with it is that we're walking around with these auras, and in our auric field, we have all of these shattered pieces, all these disassociated pieces that we are shaming and judging and criticizing, but they're still in our field. They're still in our auric field. Well, the memory integration technique is designed to bring those pieces back, creating this beautiful mosaic of the soul and just piecing them back together one by one by one.
Because when we were born, we are whole, lovable, loving, etc. And then as we grow up and gain all of these, what we call like traumatic experiences and memories, they sort of like put on all of these layers that are not good and hold us back or down.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how I would interpret that.
Well, and distortions can happen in the womb. For instance, if you are being, I've worked with a lot of adopted men, and the beliefs that I have helped to clear with these adoptive men is, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, because they felt that in the womb because they were given up for adoption. So babies, I would love to think that babies all come out sovereign, but that's just not true. Because
right. You're so right. Yeah.
They're in the womb and you don't know what's going on. You know, I know that I had some anxiety in the womb because my mom had lost a baby before me. And so she was very careful. I took on that anxiety, and I've had a womb clearing, baby clearing, you know, womb clearing, whatever, support around.
Yeah. Yeah, you're so right. Thank you for calling that out for sure. Yeah, you're right. What do you do with clients that have blocked the memories of childhood?
Very, very carefully gaining the trust of the younger parts, because they're the ones who hold all of the information. The adults, if they don't have awareness, the children do. The children parts do. And it's really just gaining that trust. So I kind of gingerly approach the children parts, the younger parts.
So if someone comes to you and they're open and want to work on this stuff, and they see they're like aware a little bit, and yet they can't remember a majority of their childhood. After working with you, on average, obviously everybody's individualized, but like on average, how many memories can you pull out from that?
I mean, that's a tough question, because it can be in one session, I can pull out two or three different memories, or I can pull out one that has different layers to it. So, I mean, when people disassociate from their childhood, it's when they've had like something very, very traumatic, usually around sexual abuse. So the sexual abuse could have occurred once, or it could have occurred multiple times. So it's hard to answer that question, because it really does go by a case to case basis.
Yeah, everybody's so unique.
Yeah. And those limiting beliefs, again, the brain, we create our own reality. So when you, like, if you do experience sexual abuse, then your brain is, again, going to think that, depending on if it was between 0 and 8 years old, they're going to think that is normal. You know, I've had men that didn't believe that they were raped because they enjoyed it. And I'm like, you are 12 years old. No, and getting them to admit that they were raped was a difficult thing, because the child actually had to admit that they experienced this. And so they will carry that with them into adulthood, into their relationships. A lot of polyamorous type of thinking is centered around sexual trauma. Majority of the people, at least that I've spoken to, that are polyamorous or have been polyamorous in the past, have experienced some sort of sexual trauma. And so they think that is the norm. They think that's normal. They will go on to create the realities to go back to that baseline.
Oh, that's fascinating. I haven't heard that before. So you were not always in this work. What did you do prior? And was it your illness that you spoke about before that sort of like totally made you want to switch your life up?
Yeah. I was a wardrobe stylist in production for 17 years. I had the most toxic job ever. It was ridiculous hours. You could never do anything right. I was in the wardrobe department, and everything always fell on wardrobe shoulders. Going to work every day and not ever being able to do your job 100% right really weighed on my mentality. The long hours, 17, 18 hour days. I mean, I would have to leave set after a 10 to 12 hour shoot and then go shopping for the next day for the next 4 to 5 hours. I would get 3 hours of sleep and I would have to start all over again. And I would do that sometimes for, I think the most I did that was 35 days in a row, where I had like 4 hour turnarounds. I was living in California at the time. My body just broke down. It was, I don't even know if I would have stayed maybe 1 or 2 more years, I don't think I would be here. I think I probably would have killed myself. I mean, not taken myself out, but my body would have just been like, no, we're done. No. Yeah. Complete shutdown. Because when I did find my conscious chiropractor, I was on death's door.
Wow.
And I finally left the business in 2011, I believe, or in 2010, 2011. And then I went back for just like short stints. And my body was like, no, we're not having this. We're not doing this anymore. And yeah, so that was definitely the most... That was the most taught, and I didn't realize this until maybe a year and a half ago, because I had done all of this work around my toxic relationships, and I didn't realize that my career was the longest toxic relationship of my life.
Isn't that so crazy?
Yeah.
Because you physically manifest everything in your world. So
exactly.
Yeah, of course your career is going to be one. So you were not always in this life coaching, some people would say like woo-woo world until they know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Very successful, we'll call it, type of career in California. And now you're not in the States. You're in Thailand.
Yeah.
Today,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yep, today. Yep. Hopefully
so
forever.
What does your life look like now in comparison? So you were really stressed out then. You hated your life. All the things were bad and hard, right? We can talk about money if you're comfortable, not the exact dollar amount, but in comparison, like, what does your life look like now?
So, yeah, when I was in production, I was close to 6 figures, and now not not anywhere near that, but I enjoy my life so much more because I know that this is my mission, this is my purpose, this is my soul's purpose, and I'm living it every single day. I love to hold space for others. Like it is, I don't know why, I just absolutely love it. I love watching my clients transform right before my eyes. It is the best thing I could ever imagine. I never don't want to do this. Even when I get to like retirement age, I'll still do what I do. As far as like my life right now, I mean, I'm on this amazing island in the Gulf of Thailand. I wake up to birds chirping, toads croaking, and dogs barking, obviously. Jungle noises. And I'm in this like yurt bungalow that has no AC, and I'm the happiest person on the face of this planet. I mean, it is just a mindset shift when you know that your life is meant to be enjoyed and not meant to sit at a desk and give your money, give your time, or trading your time for money. Like that is. I don't do that anymore. I don't go looking for clients. I mean, I have my marketing strategies and I do my content, but I allow my clients to come to me because I know that I'm always going to be provided for and supported. And it's just so much more peaceful and grounding to wake up and know that you're going to be okay because of the work that you've done on yourself and for others.
That's amazing. And so it's worth it. Like your money
Totally worth it.
also can show up even more, but it's just not what you're looking for currently.
Yeah, and I'll have stints. So as I shift my business shifts. So, and I shift. So as I shift, my business shifts. And I started out with chronic pain, people in chronic pain. I quickly realized that that was not the niche for me. And then I started working with a business coach, and he's the one I did a marketing research and I interviewed, threw it out to my community, and I interviewed between 50 and 70 people, and 85% of them were men. And so that's how I started working with men. And now as I continue to shift personally, my direction shifts. And so the investment shifts. And the only thing in constant in life is change. And so I just
Totally,
kind of,
yeah.
yeah, I'm very fluid with everything. Now I'm working with the Akashic Records. The one thing that I was missing with the memory integration technique was doing that past life regression. And so I waited for an opportunity to present itself, and I worked with an amazing mentor and teacher. And now I'm doing Akashic Records readings, on the side, and then also integrating it into my business with the memory integration technique and just my containers individually. I don't really have a call to do like group work or anything like that, 'cause I don't want anybody to fall behind because they can't get screen time. Like that's the biggest complaint that I get from clients that come to work with me. They're like, "Oh, I wish I would have found you because I spent $1,500 on this group program and I never got to speak in the 6 weeks or, 2 months or whatever." And I'm like, that's not fair to the client. Like you're re-traumatizing that client by doing that. So yeah, what I do is so very specific and personal that I just don't feel like a group would be in my future. If I can figure out, I mean, I can do group healing as far as like doing the memory integration technique. So that might be on the docket soon, but for now, I just do the one-to-one.
I love that. And so I hear you didn't say it this time around, but you attract everything in your life. You're not going out and forcefully finding and seeking, and because you're attracting the clients, they are the right clients, and your life's easier because of all of that.
I always wonder about the content creators that have like the fancy reels and the videos and things. I'm like, where do you have time to actually serve clients? Because I've done the whole editing of the videos and the creating of the content, and I'm like, I'm exhausted by that point, and I don't have the energy to hold space. So what are you doing? Are you a content creator, or do you actually hold space for people?
And I think a lot of those people are really just content creators, right? Because I agree with you. It takes your energy because it's not for you, it's not in alignment with you.
Yeah, and then when they do get them into a container, they're not serving them and supporting them in the way that they need to be supported. Again, the coaching world is just so saturated right now. And whoever is listening to this, do not allow just your coach to interview you. You interview your coach. You interview that person that is going to hold the space for you. Don't let them do it the other way around because it's your money, it's your time that you're investing. It's your life. You need to trust the person that's holding that space for you.
I love that. So everyone can find you or reach out to you.
At NicoleHarmony.com is my
Easy.
website. You can also go to my Instagram. I am Nicole Harmony, and I have Facebook groups for both men and women. The Rise of the Masculine is for the men, and Ignite the Feminine Fire Within is the women's Facebook group. You can find me there. You can find me on Facebook, Nicole Bruce Harmony. You can find me anywhere. I'm all over the place. TikTok, I am Nicole Harmony.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you,
Anything else you want to
Kate.
add for us?
Yeah, just remember that you are the creator of your own reality. So if you're not liking what's going on in your life, it is a mirror image of what is going on within you. So if you're experiencing bad relationships in your life, then it is within you that you have to figure that out. You have to turn the finger back to yourself and stop playing the victim role in your life that you created.
I love that. Going from victim to taking ownership is such a powerful change that everybody can benefit
Yeah, absolutely. If more people did that, we'd live in a completely different world.
from. Let's do it. Let's
I'm
get
on
everybody
board.
on board.
New mission, new life's purpose.
Yeah, seriously, though.
I know.
Thank you
Well, I mean,
so much.
thank you so much, Kate. It was
I
such a pleasure.
enjoyed the combo so much. Oh my gosh.
Me too. Me
And you're in
too.
Thailand.
In the dark.
I know. The power of technology. I really want to be in person with everybody. And it's like, but then you're limiting yourself to people like this scenario.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for making an exception. I really enjoyed the conversation and being able to share my message, share what I'm wanting to bring forth into the world as far as the healing space. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have Kelsey's amazing. She helps me in real estate and I like told her my mission one day and she was like, "Let's do it." And I
Oh,
was like,
that's
"Okay."
awesome. That's awesome. I love it.
And yeah, so she's helping with I'm like really bad at the behind the scenes editing and the tech like the admin tech stuff. I like literally just drains me. So she's helping. So when she gets everything up and going with this show, we'll let you know and we'll link it for you and you know all the good things. And I hope whoever's meant to come to you from it does.
Thank you. I appreciate that.